The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family-owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us, Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jamie Bluma. Hello, Jamie Bluma. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
You've had a hell of a week, haven't you?
So it was a week, yeah. You feel, 50th birthday week. Should
you
be
feel
a week.
Good?
No. I'm okay, yeah. I'm a little worse for the wear, but not too bad.
Sorry we couldn't make it out there on
okay.
your 50th.
We've had good enough times.
I texted you and told you that Selena, as a present, hit an inside-the-park home run for you at her softball game.
That's awesome.
It was awesome. You know what?
She's got the wheels in the family. Where'd she get that?
You know what? Julia's the one that has the wheels. She's fast, too. But no, they're the athletes. There's no doubt about that. But I forgot, because like Richie played baseball quite a bit until he got to high school. Phil played, then he had a bad incident with a former major league pitcher.
Where you're going with that.
He played, but at one point he comes up, you know, because Phil is always been, he's a little man, even when he was like 10 or 11 years ago. He goes, baseball's too boring for me.
That's how, you know, and he says it just
right,
like that,
right.
too.
I know, you lead a very exciting life, Phil, and so we have to move on. But he did play. He played for 2 or 3 years. He has a fun with it. Sure. Richie loved playing and played all the way up until high school. But then the girls, like every year, I'd say, hey, you want to try out softball? And that's just Julia's. I feel lucky that I have convinced her to play basketball and to run track. Because this is everything else is just a non-starter. No. I already do basketball and track. I go, because she has like a 2-sport limit apparently, and that's it.
Sure.
And I feel just privileged that she does that, right? But Selena will play and do. You know, she tried started volleyball a couple of years ago. So then finally, she never played out of nowhere because she had some friends that were playing on an 8th grade team. Then they'll move on. She'll be my last chance to play. I want to play softball. So, you know, here we go. Let's start putting together the equipment. Let's get everything. There's a lot, you know that. And let me tell you, because it's been several years, I've been out to the old ballpark, Tiffany Springs, up by our house. You forget about the little things in life. Watching your kid play, getting a hot dog from the concession stand, my dad's there, Susan's there in the chair, Phil's, big time Phil's there
sure.
watching, and just the fun, the excitement. Man, those are, I can see why. So many people just are in love with the sport, whether it's and
softball's just a faster paced.
Softball's great.
Yeah, it's faster paced game than
I love
than baseball is. So that's why that's the draw for a lot of people.
Obviously,
right. Their daughters are playing and doing all that stuff. I was watching, Oklahoma and Texas A&M a little bit. Watch Oklahoma play softball at some point if you get a chance in the next couple weeks. They're 52-2. And setting all sorts of crazy records. They have a team ERA below 1. And
Missouri was eliminated
390 as a team.
Arizona. And so very sour about what happened in that regional. But we move on, right?
There you go.
But there's great, we were watching some of that. And I watched I watched their game that they beat Missouri State. And so, yeah, softball, it's great. Very exciting.
Well, and it's got to be exciting to watch your daughters compete.
Yeah, but it took
anything.
And in 9-8, you've been watching your son's been playing baseball, but there's a big gap for me a long time.
Now, how
since
are you
I've been
as
out.
A parent in the stands? I would like to come observe.
Oh,
are you quiet or you lose your mind?
I don't say nothing.
Okay, good.
Because I see it from the other side.
Susan,
it's
quiet.
She's
reserved. She,
at one point anyway. She said, "Come on, we score some points." It runs.
That's all right.
Score some
good.
Runs.
I like, mix
she
it up.
She's,
a little
I don't
different.
Care.
I like, yeah.
She looks at me. Why don't
get
you
some
shut
points.
Up?
I
okay,
can see
let's
that.
Score oh, points then.
That's aggressive.
Let's get some points.
Like points.
Yeah, absolutely. Whatever.
Yeah,
whatever you need. No, man, that ain't us.
And Phil? Richie?
If Phil, well, Richie's always working. If Phil utters a word at one point, my dad said, "You want something with the concession stand?" And Phil goes, "I'd like a hot dog." Whoa,
I've seen
he's alive.
That. Oh, I've seen Phil crush his spread.
He'll get after it.
Yeah.
No, but they do a great. They play NSA and the you know the man in charge out there is Mike Anderson, brother of Jason Anderson. Boom.
Oh, wow.
It's all tied in together. It's how we work in the Northland. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do a great job up there. It's awesome. And the in the concession stands and the kids playing everything else. I don't know. I'm getting sappy here, but it's been a long time since I went out and seen my kid play some ball like that.
That's good.
Because we've been a basketball family, a volleyball family, and a music family, all this stuff for the past several years. It was just good to go back out there to a ball field and the last couple of days, the last couple of weeks, and experience that again and have a hot dog and watch a game. And I'll be honest with you, it's been far more entertaining than the Royals. Bada boom, bada bing.
Correct. Very true.
He's not going to give me the rim shot in there. He's busy. But you know what, though? He's teaching.
He is.
He's teaching an instrument.
Nice to meet Marissa.
He's teaching.
Leggio.
What I do.
That's right.
Or what I not do.
So I said I met some of her family.
Oh, yeah.
Through you.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll have to get them out for a Shemeca's lunch there.
It's all tied together,
man. Listen to your dad and the Shemeca's.
Well, I don't know if you need to listen to him, but that's fine. I'll tell you something.
He's the highlight of the show every time we have lunch.
Absolutely.
Up there.
Okay, so.
Luma and I had a good time on Friday at the Advent Health Golf Championship.
Like you said, busy week starting last Wednesday.
Yeah, he bounced back well from his birthday. That was, just a couple days after your birthday.
It was 2 days after my birthday, yes.
You bounced back.
And thank you for everybody that came out Wednesday night to Tanner's. Listen to Noe Palma and Travis Marvin spin some tunes. They're so good together. We'll do that. Thank you, Jim Fager over at Tanner's, for cooperating with that crowd. And shout out to Emily. So smart move by her. She was able to fasten a balloon to my belt.
That's good.
So it would be about 3 feet above my head and said, don't ask me where he is. Look for the balloon.
Right.
So it worked out perfect. Excuse me. Had a good night that night. And then she's now hiking the Pacific Crest Trail in California with a 35-pound pack. So shout out to her on her journey there. And then saw Nate Friday at the Corn Ferry Tour. Was fun, and they got to finish that up.
There was
on
all
Sunday.
Kinds of people there, man. That's like that was like the who's who of. We saw
name them.
We saw Ryan Lilja there. We saw
Robert Streb.
Yeah, PGA golfer Robert Streb, who plays here, who lives here in town, and plays on the PGA Tour. He was there. I saw Greg Gurley.
I did see Gurley.
Trying to remember, there was a lot of people there though. It was fun.
Well, that's good golf. And it's just such good golf. You don't realize the margins of how good they are in the PGA Tour versus how good they are, you know, on this tour, on the Corn Ferry Tour that's here. It's unbelievable. Local kid was leading, or not local kid, Wichita kid was leading going into Sunday. Sam Stevens and a good friend of mine, Corey Noviskone, was one of his coaches back at Wichita. So it's good to see him up watching. And then crazy finish at the end where one guy misses a 3-foot putt, and the other guy made a 19-foot putt to win the tournament. So, well done, Rick Amos and Drew Van Meteren.
Also saw a former Jayhawk Orange Bowl winner, Mike Rivera, was there.
Yes, correct.
Mm-hmm. So, what's the deal here?
Yeah. Can you hear this or not?
The ticking clock?
It's the ticking clock to see how long we wait to actually talk about the Royals because nobody wants to.
I mean, yeah, let's talk about the golf tournament.
So you know what? Let's talk about yesterday's golf. We'll talk about yesterday's golf. I know you were up at the National at Team Smile.
I was.
I was at Lionsgate with Operation Barbecue Relief. Stan Hayes and his crew, a little celebrity tournament there. So it was a who's who a little bit down here yesterday. And shout out to my team. So I had Noe Palma was playing golf. He brought another fireman with him, McKenzie Homebrecker. And then we had a couple military guys. Ezekiel Crozier, that you know, that does bottle cap art, was there. And Mike DiPolo, a colonel in Leavenworth, was also on our team. And then my squad was defending champs, Chris Barr, Paul Andres, Wade Benfield, Ryan Shriver. We again tied for the top spot, but we lost in a scorecard playoff.
God, how in the hell do you remember all these names? I meet somebody.
That's my
15
deal.
Minutes later, I don't even know what their first name was.
I've got a couple tricks that I've used over the last two decades of my life. Yeah.
I don't even know what.
My name's Nate.
Nate. Okay, I'm sorry. Nate. See?
So,
it's wild.
Yep, so that was it. So
you
I'm tired.
Do
I'm
so
going to take a nap
things.
Today. Yes. Why not?
You're everywhere.
Well, that Why not? When I was walking around with Bloom at the golf tournament, I introduced him to a few different people, and it was this is a man about town, Jamie Bluma. You know, he's always around.
I've got a lot of answers to why not, but I'm gonna keep those close to the vest. But you, you are a social. I wouldn't better.
Everybody knows Bloomer.
You're a man about town. There's no doubt about that.
Well,
there's an event, you make it better.
Well, that's my whole thing, and you know this from being on with me for Red, White, and Bloomer since before it was Red, White, and Bloomer. It was just Bloomapalooza. You know, try to raise some money, and it all kind of started with that. So, as many different things that I can do that help other people. Why not? If I had millions and millions of dollars, I would probably give it away. I do not. So this is my conduit to be able to give back. So it's fun.
What about the Royals? Are they fun?
Not right now.
I was going to say something right now. A week ago today, Nate Buchady basically called you a moron on the air, and made it seem like you didn't know baseball.
That's not true.
I'm just telling you the way the listener.
No, the way you're framing.
Consumed it. No, no.
He told me I was an idiot.
I'm not behind. I'm not framing pitches.
Either of us didn't.
I'm just telling you what was insinuated.
Yeah, that's Boddicker.
Okay, and so. I just want you, you don't have to say told you so or ha ha or nothing like that, but now I want you to ask Nate now if he still thinks the Royals are in it. Ask him, and then I'll sit back.
No,
and
here's
wait.
The thing.
No, here's you let him ask you.
All right, one thing. I was disappointed because I'm usually the eternal optimist.
Right.
And I was not optimistic last week that we were still in it. Just by how we're playing and when we're not playing, where do we go from here? I mean, I was listening to you guys, obviously, on the way in today. Like, that's the biggest question for me is the people that we have on this team have to improve. You didn't expect Whit Merrifield to be doing what he's doing and all the cacophony of things, they're all going wrong. So I was not optimistic. But I also didn't think it would be 7 days later. And there's not.
They've gone 2-7 since then.
The Royals wanted to decide this argument quickly.
Well, so we did. Yeah, what happened was you asked us both if we were in it. Jamie said no, and I said yes. And you guys both looked at me like I had, you know, two heads.
It was surprising.
And then I said, hey, if they rattle off a 9-game winning streak, would they be.
Which I chuckled about.
And you guys laughed at me. And so then. Immediately, the Royals won 2 in a row. And so I texted Bluma.
Of course you did.
I texted him because it was the same thing. I had to work the night of his birthday. And when I got done with the Royals game, I texted him to see if they were still out because I was going to try to come by.
You knew the answer to that question.
Party. Well, I didn't.
The chances of me answering the phone were not good.
Right. And so when he got back to me, I said, by the way, 2 wins in a row for the Royals, 7 more. And, you know, we're talking here. And I think, what did you say? Something back like prescient or so? I don't know. You said something like you're a soothsayer. I don't know.
Yes, you are a soothsayer.
And the Royals have lost 5 in a row since I texted them. I was like, oh boy, here we go, 2 in a row. Here we go. I'm going to be able to take this back when Bloomer comes on next week.
I'll be patting myself on the back,
right.
Not in certain terms.
So
I've been doing something to myself. I think I said, yeah.
Self pleasure.
So I asked Nate, I don't know, and maybe they can put together a good stretch here because I didn't think they were this bad. Like when I looked at the roster, I didn't say, well, this is the worst team in the American League. But right now, they're the worst team in the American League. They have the worst record in the league, tied with the Detroit Tigers at 14-27. They have the worst run differential in the league at minus 60. They've lost 5 in a row. Is this? I mean, that's what they are right now, and we're into the same. The Royals always say, you know, step back after 40 games and evaluate where you are, and that's a good sample size to try to figure out, you know, what you got. Well, what they've got is the worst record in the American League. So is this the worst team in the American League?
I don't think it is. Because of those things I said earlier, you didn't expect Nicky Lopez to be where he is. You didn't expect Whit Merrifield to be, and he's coming on. I mean, he's up to 215, which is a far cry from where he was probably a week ago. I'll look back and see what he was a week ago. Santana, maybe not white hot, but he's swinging the bat a little bit better. So you got to expect that we are going to be better than what we've been the first 40. Chances of us even getting to 500 is going to be tough the rest of the way. I think I said, what did I say on the prediction? Did I say 86 wins?
Whit Merrifield was hitting 203 at this time last week. He's up to 214.
So here's what the hard thing now is, you got to be even hotter and hotter because you're starting to accumulate at-bats. So to be able to move the needle as much is going to be more difficult as you get more at-bats tacked on. So for him to even get to 250 or 260, that means he's going to be swinging a super hot bat. But, those things are going to trend upward, I think, from an offensive standpoint as the weather gets better. As it gets warmer, you see that. Same goes for other teams as well. But I'm worried about pitching. I mean, as far as starting pitching, I mean, that was one of Zach's worst outings by far. Scared to throw strikes is not something that I would hear out of Zach Greinke's mouth ever at this point in his career. It was odd to hear that this morning. But Keller's been good. He just hasn't had any run support. And we've got to kind of piece together the rest of it after, you know, Lynch and Greinke. I don't know what Heasley's going to be all right. I think he's at least aggressive. Boddicker and McFarland and I all like how he pitches in the truest sense of the word without the crazy Uber stuff that some of these other guys have. So you hope the younger pitching, you know, they learn a little bit. They continue to get a little bit better. So I'm anxious to see how we are the next 40 games. We've kind of ran the gauntlet, too, of a tough schedule to start. And the way it's going to be the rest of the time is, and you said it again earlier, it's relentless. Baseball schedule is relentless, and even more so this year because of the work stoppage. Everything got squashed in another less week, and we just played a doubleheader in 9 games in 7 days or whatever it was. So it's brutal.
I saw that Royals Review tweeted this out yesterday before the game. The last 5 years, the Royals' record after 40 games. In 2018, 13-27. 2019, 14-26. 2020, 14-26. 2021, 18-22. So last year was right. This year, 14-26.
Man. Put ourselves in the hole right out of the gate.
Right. So, like, except for last year when they were 4 games under 500, I mean, 3 of the years they've been 14-26, and then 1 year they were 1 game worse than that, 13-27. So 4 of the last 5 years, they've been absolutely just done by the 40-game mark. And look, it just shouldn't take this long. And now, and it just seems like it's just the same thing, same song over and over again.
Well, and the optimism was from, we got young hitting prospects that are all coming off good years. When was Whit going to make his debut? What about Prado, Melendez? The young pitching's hopefully going to take a step forward, and not none of those things have happened. I mean, the young pitching. I mean, Daniel Lynch, he's doing better. But the rest of them have not taken a step forward. I think Witt's going to be fine. You come around, you see what he's going to be. I mean, he's going to end up being a 280 with all the tools and all that stuff. Melendez forced into action because Salvi on the DL. Like to see him getting at bats, which is great. I don't know about Prado and Pasquantino. I assume we're going to see them at some point this year. It all depends on when or if they're going to eat Santana's salary, because nobody else is going to pick up that contract. And after that, I mean, it's going to be a tough year the rest of the way. But I want to see improvement from, you know, game 41 to the All-Star break. If not, I think you got to continue to take looks internally. I mean, this wasn't all Terry Bradshaw's fault, you know.
So Stephen,
you don't fire players.
Well, some guys get sent down, and some guys get released at some point, but they can't fire the whole team. So to go back to last year, though, you were just listing off how the Royals sucked the hope out of the season in the first month or the first 2 months of the year, Stephen.
Yes.
So you said last year, you know, you look at the overall record, doesn't seem so bad after the first 2 months of the year. But if you guys remember what happened, the Royals on May 1st last year were 16-9. They had a really good April, and you're like, and we were like, oh wow, look at this. Do you know what they did to open up the month of May? Do you guys remember this? They lost 11 games in a row. So you went from like, hey man, you know, because a lot of times you can ride a hot start to the season, and then just if you can just play kind of close to 500 ball the rest of the way, right, you feel like you're in it, you know, for a few months. But they couldn't. They couldn't stand prosperity, so they went from 16-9 to losing 11 straight games. And the next thing you know, they're 16-20, and they never sniff 500 again. And so even then, even when they had a good month last year, they threw that out the window before May was over with. And so it has been, and that's what, like, you talked about apathy earlier, Stephen, and that's part of the problem is, I mean, the game of baseball is supposed to kind of draw you toward 500, right? Like George Brett used to always say, you know, everybody starts with 60 wins.
Right.
And then it's what you do with the other, you know, 100 games.
102, yeah.
You know, that determines if you're going to be good or bad. And this team's found a way to like, suck the interest out of the season before you even really have a chance to get into it.
Well, and that's we don't have a stopper, you know, just to keep us out of those 11-game winning streaks. It seems like over the last 5 years, we've had one of those, if not multiple.
Yeah, there's
those
always
streaks.
Losing streaks with this team. Always.
9 and 11, yeah. and multiple runs of five. We just don't have. I mean, Greinke's not that guy at this point in his career that he's just a stopper.
Well, heck, Brady Singer's pitched like it the last
Brady
two
Singer's
times been, out, and they lost.
Right, you can't get him any runs either. So, that's what you hope is that somebody can step up in the middle of that and not incur an 11-game losing streak at any point.
And the Royals haven't had an 11-gamer yet, but they opened up the season after winning their first two games with a 5-game losing streak, and now they've got another 5-game losing streak. You know, I mean, it's so they've already had two of those the first 2 months of the year.
40 games in.
Yeah, so
not good.
We've got Jamie Bluma in studio. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. All right, so we briefly touched on the success of Brady Singer. And look, in the grand scheme of things, the development and success of Brady Singer is more important to this baseball team than a 5-game losing streak, 10-game losing streak, whether or not they're going to finish last place or fourth place or whatever the outcome is going to be this season, because they're not a playoff team. They've proven that now. They're not going to be in contention for anything meaningful. And so and they may not want to hear it. And it's hard to say that to a professional athlete that, look, 40 games in, a quarter of the way in, we're done. But that's what it is. And so this is about development now.
100%.
This is about development. At some point, they need to be done with giving at bats to Carlos Santana and Ryan O'Hearn. This is going to be about finding out about Nick Prado and Vinny Pasquantino, Kyle Isbell, Melendez, all of them, right? And the young pitchers. And so the most significant thing, when you look at it in the grand scheme of things, and in the big picture view, the most important thing that's happened recently has been the two starts from Brady Singer. Because again, if they end up getting out of that hall of all those college pitchers from 2018, if they end up with two good starting pitchers in Lynch and Singer, and then maybe Heasley ends up being the fifth starter. Maybe he ends up being a guy because he's part of that class too. He's the 13th round. I don't know what to tell you about Kowar and Bubich and Carlos Hernandez. I have no idea what's going to happen with them. Hopefully they can all make it back and be serviceable, but we'll see. So let's focus on Singer. What has led to these back-to-back starts? They've asked for the changeup. We've all asked for the changeup. It appears now he's willing to use that. He feels more comfortable, you know, with the feel for that pitch. What are you seeing from Singer that has led to these back-to-back very good starts?
Well, I mean, I just love that we were able to positively identify some of the things that he needed to work on. We talked about it here for the last year and a half about being able to do that. But at one point, he was convinced, I guess, getting sent down to the bullpen out of spring training and then get sent down to go work on your changeup. That was it. That was the turning point. So he went down there and did it, and he's gotten aggressive, and now he can trust his stuff. I've always liked his slider and his fastball combination, and now you add that third pitch in there, and you can see it doesn't have to be his go-to, but that gives you a third option. Keeps guys off balance. I just love that he's aggressive. You know, I think he's kind of realized now, like, if I don't get up here and pitch well, I'm not going to be in the big leagues. That's how it works. So take it upon himself to go out there and do all the things that he needs to do to stay at the big league level. What I want to see is let's do that with the other three guys or four guys and Bubich and Kowar. Let's identify, you know, what needs to be done, what needs to be worked on. Go down to Omaha, make some adjustments, make some changes, whatever you need to do mentally, physically, and be able to make those, pitch well, and get back up here. Because if you don't, I mean, that's how this game works, is we're going to find the next guy. And whether it's somebody in another organization or somebody in the Royals organization we're not even talking about now that's able to step forward and do those things, we got to be able to do a better job as an organization of be able to identify what's wrong, fix it, and get some success out of some guys. Because this game will just trample you over. And you talk about it being a failure. It's a failure-based sport as a hitter. You can't have that kind of failures as a pitcher, or you're going to have a 9 ERA and you're not going anywhere. So you've got to succeed a lot more as a pitcher than a hitter does as a hitter, or your numbers are awful.
So do you feel like this, his success, and he's not clearly not going to, you know, go seven shutout innings every start, but do you feel like this version of Brady Singer is sustainable to where he could stay in the rotation?
Absolutely. No reason not to think that with what he's done. I know it's a small sample size, but he's done exactly what you wanted him to come out and do after going down there to work on the things that he's now doing. Keller, too. I mean, that's one thing that's been nice about him bounce back is he's aggressive and understanding, man, it's going to have to be maybe 50-50 between slider and fastball, whichever one's working better that day. That's where I'm going to go. The numbers say this. I'm not giving up very many hits on my slider at all. If I am giving up hits, it's on fastball. Maybe I don't throw as many four-seamers, more two-seamers. I mean, that's all the information that every one of these guys has every time they take the mound, and to be able to use that information in this age of metrics and have it plugged into their game to have success moving forward.
Do you think – so a lot of the talk when we listen to Dayton Moore and J.J. Piccolo talk about these young pitchers and the struggles they've had, that Dayton Moore's tried to put it on himself, say, I called these guys up too early, particularly Bubich and Singer, maybe Hernandez. And the thing about Singer was, well, we called him up when he only had two pitches, knowing that he probably needed a third, but we thought he could get by on two pitches and then develop the third as he went along. He goes back to AAA. He seems to have learned a changeup, and now he's had these two great outings. Do you think that had they kept him in the minors longer after the pandemic, he would have gone ahead and learned that? Or did he need to fail at the major league level and then go back and understand, okay, I really have to commit to learning this pitch in order for him to actually develop it the way that he has?
I think the failure part is part of this game. And when Singer or anybody else gets put in a Bubich, for instance, getting called up out of AA, you know what? Continue to put guys in a situation to see what they can do, see what they're made of, see what you've got, you know? And this game is so difficult. Nobody's good always, right? You know? If you don't have some failure to be able to learn from that and move forward, not just in baseball, but anything, I think you're absolutely right. I think, wow, I'm not in the rotation anymore. I'm not even on this team anymore. I'm now in Omaha. I better get my head screwed on straight and do everything that I need to do. And you want to do that as an organization. You want to keep challenging guys and see, because then you find out what guys are made of. Because you know what? I would say probably 50% of people that play this game, it's hard enough to get to the big league. It's even harder to stay. You've heard that 1,000 times. I lived it. So you're going to have to continue to put guys in situations to see if they can succeed and hope that they do. And now you've got a guy that can do some sustainability and keep himself in the major leagues with some sort of a success. And that's what every single organization is trying to do with every single player that you have. So you find the best 25. You know, it's hard to stay here. It's hard to continue to have success at the major league level is extremely difficult.
Okay, so I've told you that this is going to be about development, right? And this is no longer a team that
looks
like...
Are we going to take the plunge? Well, and we'll see. That's what I'm looking for in these next 40 games. What are we going to do?
Okay, so I'm going to ask you about some players. Michael A. Taylor, he's on the COVID list right now, but he agreed to a 2-year, $9 million contract with the Royals that pays him, obviously, $4.5 million this year and then next year. Reasonable contract. He's got the reputation to be a really good defensive player. But we see he's limited offensively, right? He's 31 years old. There's not upside there. This is what he is. Right. I and many people, other people, have campaigned for Kyle Isbell to get more playing time. He was recognized as one of the Royals' better prospects. It's a kid that can play center field, but you need to see it, right? You need to see what he could do at the major league level. Since he's been getting more at-bats, he's got a 6-game hitting streak. In his last 9 games, he's hit safely in 8 of them. Over the past week, he's hitting .370. Over the past 2 weeks, he's hitting .297. Over the past 3 weeks, he's hitting .289. So he's holding his own at the plate. Last year, in 76 at-bats, he hit .276. You know, in his last full season of the minors in 2021 in Omaha, he had 771 OPS, but 15 homers, 21 steals. Nice ball player. And so Michael A. Taylor, when he gets healthy, do you try to move on from him and give Isbell those at bats and that opportunity to see what you've got it as for as a center fielder?
You got to weigh the. Here's what you want to happen with Michael Taylor: get him enough at bats to show that he's a viable option, that somebody else might need a defensive player as a fourth outfielder later on in the season that's making a stretch run. But you got to weigh that with how many at bats do you want to get Isbell. So you're in a tough situation. Do you get the majority of the at bats to Isbell? End up eating Taylor's contract. He ends up being your fourth guy. And then you hope somebody wants him, like the Braves plugging in some guys down the stretch last year that maybe were kind of off the radar moves that ended up turning out great for them. I mean, he's a guy that's a great clubhouse guy. Maybe there is some interest. Hopefully we're always gauging interest on the guys that we have, but he's not part of this moving forward. I mean, we need to be able to flip him to get some more guys and get Isbell more at-bats.
There's value in his defense, but again, this is about development. Isbell's 25 years old. He's under team control for several years. Nate, hold on to Michael Taylor because of his defense and his reasonable contract, or try to flip him if you can and give those at bats to Isbell to find out what you've got.
I mean, if you can get something for the for, I mean, he's not, I just don't see Michael A. Taylor being a part of when this team is winning again. I suppose.
Or if you can't flip him, just give the at bats.
Yeah,
to Isbell.
I mean, I would just prefer to see him then become more of a utility outfielder, which is kind of what he was becoming before the Royals gave him a shot, right? Like he was progressing towards being a fourth outfielder, if I remember correctly, before the Royals signed him. Yes. Because he doesn't have the bat, and he's a good defensive outfielder, and I
good maybe, clubhouse guy.
Yeah, but I'm
reasonable, you know.
Yeah,
$4.5 million.
Not like
for
it's a
year.
Crime that he's on the team or anything like that. But I'd rather see some young guys get those opportunities, see what you've got with those guys, let them play every day.
So you're looking for bats for Isbell eventually, sooner than later. You're going to be looking for bats Pasquantino and Prado. Santana, O'Hearn, goodbye. I've said that. But then you also maybe, I don't know what you guys think of Emmanuel Rivera, if he deserves more bats. So you're looking for more bats in Isbell as well. And also trying to take advantage of having any type of trade chips to flip to add to what you've got for whenever the Royals are going to be competitive, right? To try to increase your depth in the organization or whatever, or to fill in some holes. Here's another guy. Not a lot of people brought this up, but I do think this is interesting. I want to get you guys' thoughts on this. Because he is hitting the ball a hell of a lot better than he did last year, right? Hunter Dozier hit a home run last night. And so far right now, sitting 270, 318 on base, 461 slug, 779 OPS, 100 points higher than last year. He can hit, right? Mm-hmm. But he really what's his best position?
Doesn't have one.
Right?
Does not have one.
I mean, first base or DH.
Right.
Well, the guys are on the way, then those aren't going to be available. Okay? Hunter Dozier signed a 4-year, $25 million contract extension in March of 2021. That includes a $10 million team option with a $1 million buyout for 2025. What about a guy like Hunter Dozier? Would he be of interest? Because, again,
I feel like a lot of people have a guy like Hunter Dozier, though. That's the problem, you know? A guy maybe with some upside offensively with no position. It's a little bit different now because National League has DH.
Right.
So that opens up a little bit more. But I feel like there's a lot of Hunter Doziers out there, and everybody's kind of got one. And what interest? You hope that there's interest, because I think if he continues to do what he's doing right now, 270, all those numbers, that contract is okay.
It's reasonable. Yes. And you're he's not a rental player. You've got him under control for 2022. He's scheduled to make $7.5 million in 23, and then $9.25 million in 24, and then the $10 million option in 25. So it's not a ridiculous contract. He can hit.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like what you would hope for if you're the Royals, to me, is when the playoff picture starts to become a little clearer, there's a couple teams out there that just need a right-handed power bat. You know, I mean, that's because, like you said, everybody might have a guy, but the one thing that is positive about Dozier, he doesn't have a position, but he can play.
Right, right. He's not going to embarrass
positions. He can play right field. He can play third base. Right. Not great, but he can play them.
But my point is, when it is time for Pasquantino and Prado to come up, and you're looking for bats for Kyle Isbell, and maybe you want to take a longer look at Emmanuel Rivera. I don't know if he fits in that group or whatever, but where's Dozier going to get his bats?
No, I think that's a great point, and that's why I'm saying, though, I think you were kind of saying, well, who's going to offer you something for him
right.
in a trade? Because if everybody's already got a Hunter Dozier, do they really need one? But what usually ends up happening is teams that are in the playoffs, in the playoff picture, start looking at, okay, what do we need? What do we need in the lineup? And it might not even be an everyday guy, but maybe we don't have a good right-handed power bat.
Well, I think that's where Hunter Dozier and Michael Taylor kind of fall in the same thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, Hunter more upside offensively.
Yeah. And maybe if you're a team that's like, we need somebody that can go get it in the outfield.
Yeah, you could envision a scenario where a team center fielder gets hurt.
Right.
Yeah. And we need a guy, and you can go out and a team that's not offensively challenged can, okay, we can absorb him in the lineup, but he's going to play really good defense for us in the center field. And at the same token, if one of your bats gets or one of your guys gets hurt, and you need a guy that could play some positions, but you don't want Dozier to be your everyday third baseman. You don't want him to be your everyday right fielder. But he can play enough positions to keep himself in the lineup. A team that's in contention.
Yeah.
But how's Dozier now?
30. And that's the other point I was going to make is, you know, I'm skeptical that the Royals would do it because they seem to only want to trade guys that are at the end of their contract.
Right.
Because they always think they're going to win next year.
That's why we didn't trade Santana last year.
Yeah, they always think they're going to win next year.
Where's he going to get his at-bats?
I'm with you, and he's on the wrong side of 30. I mean, he's getting close to 31. And so, to me, I think it makes a lot of sense what you're saying. Now, Dayton Morris said they need to be more transactional. Part of that is trading guys that, you know, because, you know, guys that are under contract.
It's almost like, I almost compare it to Keller from last year, because, like, Keller, nobody wanted Keller last year. Look, he had an ERA close to 6. Hunter Dozier was terrible last year.
Yeah.
Keller's off to a really good start, and he's under team control next year. So if you were ever going to flip him, it would be now, as opposed to, and you couldn't do the same thing with Dozier. Nobody wanted Dozier last year, but take advantage of I'm not saying how, but a good solid start.
When they're at their most value.
Right?
Yes.
Now Keller, I'd be more interested
in hearing.
He's
young enough.
Right. And also, if he could be a good, solid starting pitcher, I'd be interested in the Royals signing him to an extension. Okay? But Dozier, just this time next year, where are the at-bats coming from? And I like Dozier. I like him as a person. I like him as if he's going to hit this way, he's fine. But you got to think about maximizing the trade assets that you have and looking ahead and thinking, like, where is he going to go? Where does he fit?
Well, if you like Dozier as a guy, I mean, I can't imagine he would complain about getting traded to a contender.
That's what I mean.
Pick up about 20 games in the standings, you know, in one day. So I think it makes a lot of sense.
Because
the question is, will the Royals actually
pull the trigger?
Because we're going to go through this whole thing again next year, right? Well, Mondesi is our shortstop, and so then we're going to put Bobby Witt at third, and then Lopez would be at second, and then you got, you know, Prado at first, and you have Pasquantino DH, so that means we'll move Whit Merrifield out into the right field, and so then you got to have a spot for Isabel. I'd like to see him have a spot for Isabel, and so then, you know, and then where's Dozier go? What are they going to do with Benintendi? There's another guy that can flip. You got to start thinking about these things. Now, again, take advantage of Benintendi's good start. But this is where you get to the point, Bluma. You got to make a decision. Are you realizing? Are you going to admit that, hey, we're just not contending? This isn't happening. Pull the plug and start flipping guys.
I think we do.
Or are we going to try to duct tape everything together and see if they can win 75 games? You see what I'm saying?
What good does it do us just to win 75 games?
Right. What good does it do you to give at-bats to Santana and O'Hearn? What good does it do you to all these? You know what I mean?
Right.
At some point, just make the decision, hey, we're going to cut our losses, sunk costs. We're going to trade guys, take advantage of the guys that may not have a future for the next 3 or 4 years but are off to good starts. Do what you got to do and start getting this nucleus together. Because that's ultimately what's going to decide whether or not the Royals are good.
I'm anxious to see what's going to happen in the next 30 days.
Right.
Yep.
Because if it truly is with the 40 games and what else could you take away? Well, like, what else are you going to take away? Well, you know, the ball bounces a different way a couple times and they're in it. Stop it. Can't do that. Because that'll make you keep these guys that don't have a future thinking you can squeeze out another couple of wins. Nate, you're looking at me like that with that critical eye.
Googly
or
eyes.
Are you looking at me with a critical spirit? Which one?
Ooh, that's a Dayton Moore quote right there. I'd like to think that I have a critical eye.
Thank you.
Not a critical spirit.
How the hell can someone get a hold of you for lessons, though? You never tell me.
I always tell
you. Okay, well, tell me now.
Homefieldkc.com, or you can call 913-320-4404.
Or just be about town, and you'll probably run into
me. Right,
at Bundy Jr. 19 on
event.
Twitter. I am... not difficult to find.
Can I ever come out there just for like a lesson or just hitting, just to work in the cages with someone?
Check it out.
Is there?
Sure.
Do you have anyone? Do you have any contacts? Do you have any, you know?
We've got plenty of instructors. Let me know if you want to do that.
What if I wanted to learn from you? Can you?
I wouldn't do that.
What kind of hitter are you?
I was a decent high school hitter.
I mean, right now.
Not bad. I hold my own. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should get on Mondays between 7 and 8 p.m.
Okay.
At our home field location off Bannister, a group of fantasy camp guys work out every week. And I'm sure they would love for you to join them on any one of these coming Mondays and throw it around and hit a little bit. And there you go. How about that? There's the invitation.
Well, it looks like I bet he's going to fish for that. You'd love to get out there and strut your stuff and do the splits after you hit a home run and stuff like that. If there's ever a fantasy camper.
The only fantasy camp I have not been to is the Royals fantasy camp.
So we changed the date.
I've been to Bill Self fantasy camp. Right. I've been to Chiefs fantasy camp. I've been to Sporting fantasy camp, but I have not been to Royals.
This is a fantasy camper.
There you go.
Oh, man.
He loves it.
Mondays at 7. Home field Bannister.
Right. You go out there and swing the bat?
I don't know.
Show your wheels?
It feels like a torn oblique at this point in my life.
Nah.
I'm glad I don't have
one
of those.
Top physical condition. We will. I know Max Scherzer's on the shelf for like 6 to 8 weeks. Stupid. I hate it. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati, Marco Marquez, intern Marissa, on this Tuesday, May 24th. Gary Lezak always says, look outside to see what the weather's doing, and I see some rain coming down, Gary.
I know. So I just read the National Weather Service forecast. They say there's a 90% chance of rain today. So isn't it 100%?
Yes, what's happening?
All right.
Nate just grabbed the microphone. He's going to say something smart mouth to you. Go ahead, say it.
Yeah, this is when it's 100%.
Right.
You got a smart mouth.
It's amazing. I got to ask you a question. The rainfall forecast is for about a half inch of rain, maybe even a little less than that around Sedalia for this whole storm, and up to 4 or 5 inches of rain around Emporia to our west. Kansas City, 1 to 2 inches of rain. So it sort of put this in the blog. If it were snow, I would be saying, oh, how much snow, Gary? I'd be saying, oh, 1 inch or 2 inches around Sedalia and 15 inches on the west side of Kansas City. And you'd go, you're crazy. How can you make a forecast like that? Well,
crazy.
That's what it is. You know, when you're predicting snow, amounts are so much more impacting, right? What's the difference between getting a dusting 10 inches of snow versus getting 15 inches of snow? Whereas rain, the same thing is happening today, and I'm giving you the same rainfall forecast of maybe a half inch, a little less than that to the east, 4 or 5 inches of rain to the west. The impact difference between 1/2 inch of rain and 2 inches of rain is almost the same for everybody, because you experience rain, right? So it's raining, and the difference, isn't that amazing, the difference between snow forecasting and rain forecasting, and it's why people get so frustrated when they, you know, getting that specific on the amounts. Like, if I were to say exactly how much rain is going to fall today at Sports Radio 810 on the south side of the city, I'd say between now and Thursday, 2.5 inches of rain. And in Blue Springs, 1.5 inches of rain. That'd be like saying 15 inches of snow or 25 inches of snow. So it's a difference when it's snow, but on rain it isn't as impacting.
I don't know what's going on right now. This is all over my head.
Thank you for letting me babble about that. So anyway, I said during the winter, when it comes to rain, I'm going to try to explain why it's a little bit easier to predict rain than it is to predict snow, because you wouldn't have to be so specific on amounts. Anyway, I'm doing the weather at least, right?
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nate checked out about 5 minutes ago, by the way.
I started doing a lot of math on all that snow stuff. I kind of...
Nate, here we go. I just got an alert. Nate just posted something about soccer on Facebook. That's what he's doing.
What? I just shared a post. You're on Facebook, too.
Get alerts. No, it popped up, and it said Nate has just posted on Facebook. I got all the alerts on you. Mm-hmm. Every time you post on social media, I know what's going on over here. And you were not listening to Gary because you were more interested in sharing something from U.S. soccer on Facebook. Just tell Gary. Tell him.
I'm used to it.
Tell him you don't care.
Alert. A soccer post was just soccer, made by Navy Katie.
People know if they're on Facebook, they know you're posting about U.S. Say it. What did you post about U.S. soccer?
I just hit the share button on a post about the United States men's national team coming to Kansas City.
When's that going to happen?
June 5th. I got my tickets.
Is you excited?
Wow. I'm incredibly excited about it. It's
none of
be...
your favorite players are going to play.
What is that supposed to mean?
I don't know. I want you to say who's going to play.
The first team should be here. Christian Pulisic is going to be here. Weston McKennie.
I saw the roster
Eric
release,
Palmer
Nate. I'm
Brown.
Saying, oh, none of you. Want you to say, oh, yes, they are. Yes. Where? See, that's right.
A lot of my favorite players are going to be there, Steven.
There it is. Wow. What the hell is he wearing?
He's wearing some kind of hockey.
Look at
yes, Gary. What?
What do you got there?
What is happening? Okay, while I'm doing the weather, a typical day. How often is Nate looking down into his cell phone?
All the time. No, his laptop.
I got a laptop here.
Or laptop, either one.
I got my notebook out, but you know,
he didn't like what you were saying
today. I'll be honest with you. I don't find any relevance to snowfall amounts right now. It's not snowing. And so you started talking about the weather with the rain we were going to get here, and I was all in. And then you started giving me all kinds of math formulas about how 1/10 of an inch of rain equals an inch of snow, and what that equals if it's 1 inch of rain versus 10 inches of snow. And I don't care.
Damn.
That's all. You know,
Gary, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I know
for
it's
what
interesting,
you,
but you've told me that before. You've told me before that. Wow. That it's 10-1
Gary,
in terms of snow to rain. So I already knew that.
Gary, do you want to know why I care?
Why?
Because you care.
Oh, thank you.
That's why.
That's so sweet. Mm-hmm. All right, here's your forecast, and I'll move on. Get back into your phone, Nate. Here we go. Get back into your laptop.
I'm listening if you actually give the forecast.
Get back in your laptop.
In my laptop.
Get into it. Cloudy. With a 100% chance of rain. It may be heavy at times. A high today, 60. It's 58 right now. So 60 won't go up 2 more degrees. 100% chance of rain tonight, 54. Rain tomorrow, 100%, 62 degrees, but not rain all day tomorrow. Just 2 or 3 bands of rain. So there may be hours where it doesn't rain, but 100% chance it rains tomorrow. And a 70% chance Thursday, total rainfall amounts 1 to 2 inches, widespread 2 to 4 inches. From the state line westward, possible with some flooding. I'll keep you updated. I may not go into the snow example, but maybe I'll make a graphic so it makes it easier. Okay, 6B.
Thank you. Maybe not.
You're welcome. And here is an amazing guy, amazing system. They have a north location and a south location. Have your own personal doctor. Here's Dr. Troy Burns.
Thanks, Gary. As you've known for years, Pro Partners is a different kind of family medicine practice that guarantees direct access to your personal physician literally anytime. If you want the peace of mind of having a doctor who's always available, give Pro Partners a call or check us out on the web at propartnershealthcare.com.
That was Mr. Gary Lezak with your forecast. We'll be back after this on WHB.